Good morning. A sea of red. Well, we delight to be together this morning to celebrate the Lord's entrance into the world, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we give you our worship that we could be together today to give you our thanks for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, into the world. We thank you that Jesus came into the world for joy, to bring us the joy of heaven and the joy of eternal life, the joy of forgiveness and newness of life. We pray today that the joy of the Lord will be on us as we worship together, and we ask you to open your word to our hearts and minds, that we would be enlivened by the truth of God, and that our hearts would be responsive to all that we hear today. Thank you for this wonderful season in which we celebrate you. We pray that the joy of the Lord will be ours, will both be our beacon, our direction, and our strength. In the name of Christ we pray together, amen. If you have a Bible, let's turn together to the book of Luke, which is the third book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's good for us to read the Christmas account from Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. You begin to recite all of the particular players and particularities of the Christmas story. And we don't often talk about shepherds and flocks and angels and stars and fear and joy, good news, a Savior, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill, God with us, all of the realities of Christmas that we want to be careful not to rush past in all of our purchasing and scurrying in all of our schedules. So Luke chapter 1, verse 26, let's read the biblical account of God coming to a young girl named Mary. Luke 1, 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." She was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, Mary is recorded here as having many obstacles that sort of stand in her way of receiving this message, this sudden announcement from an angel from God. The first of which had to be fear. You'd be afraid too if the angel Gabriel came into your room, coming into her presence and announcing, "Mary, you're going to have a child." Mary, in all likelihood, was a teenager, probably 15 years of age. Do you remember what you were doing at age 15? 15 years of age, in all probability, maybe a little bit older. And Mary was already betrothed to be married. And you know, in Jewish custom, that meant that a legal contract had already been arranged. But the husband and wife, Although called such, we're not living together. And the groom would come and get his bride on some unannounced night and take her to be with himself. But that had not happened. So at this point, Mary and Joseph were living separately, though still called husband and wife. She was going to be facing a transition in her life from her family to a new family. In all probability, she was a humble girl, uneducated, and she had no idea what was ahead of her. Perhaps the biggest obstacle that now is in her mind is that she has just been informed she's going to have a baby, which means she's going to have to say to her betrothed the words, "I'm pregnant." Can you imagine the fear and anxiety that's inside of her that soon she would be terribly misunderstood by all around her? And in her anxiety and fear, in this kind of circumstance, she's listening to the angel Gabriel announce to her that she's going to be the mother of none other than Jesus, the promised Messiah, the Son of God. Her obstacles before her are massive. What helps us in this circumstance is the text for us in verse 37. "For nothing shall be impossible with God." And in this text, we see God assuring Mary of several things. "Hail Mary, favored one, the Lord is with you." You're not alone. God is with you. And the one you're going to bear as a child is going to be great. And with God, nothing is impossible. And the angel Gabriel gives her an assurance that while you're going to have a child whose name will be Jesus, and he will be the Son of the Most High, I think to illustrate and to reaffirm her confidence in the Lord, God illustrates that when he's involved, nothing is impossible, because Elizabeth, who was called barren, many years without a child, is now going to have a son herself, and her son will be John the Baptist. This to illustrate to Mary, with God, nothing will be impossible. Let's say that together. For nothing will be impossible. You believe that? Easy for us to look back at Mary and say, "Oh, it's so great that God overcame her obstacles and assured her that when he's involved, nothing's impossible." But you have obstacles too. You have obstacles at your Christmas time that stand in the way of you receiving the joy of the Lord. The obstacles that you face, what are they? Well, nothing this great. And your obstacles probably pale in comparison to being suddenly told that you're going to bear a son and you're a virgin. You've never known a man. You're 15 years of age. You're humble in your circumstance. And God comes to you and says, "You're going to bear a child." That's a big obstacle. And God says, "Nothing will be impossible." Your obstacles are different, but we have them at Christmas. The obstacles that we face are many. We have surprises and circumstances that we don't expect. None like this, but we're always surprised at Christmas. We have expectations that Christmas is going to be a certain way, and they rarely live up to our expectations of them. You have a schedule probably that you can't keep. You have problems that can't be solved. You have relationships that always come to the fore in Christmas, and they're not perhaps what you expect them to be. And there are often at Christmas times massive disappointments and unmet expectations. And I would just like to remind you as you approach Christmas that you be careful about the obstacles you'll face and compare yours to Mary's and say, "Nothing will be impossible with God." We ought to think about the way God prepared Israel for this coming joy into the world. He sent John the Baptist, and the mission of John the Baptist was to what? Prepare the way of the Lord. And when John the Baptist preached and tried to prepare Israel for the Messiah who was coming, he said, "Get everything out of the way. Make the rough places plain. Make the high places low, make the low places high, and make a highway for God. Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And I would like to encourage you that in order for you to experience the joy that God wants to bring you at Christmas, it may require that you prepare your own heart for Christ by scraping away some of the things that will obscure your vision of Christ, the Son of God, the Most High. Mary had these obstacles to overcome. She's the favored one. You notice that. Hail thou favored one, verse 28. The Lord is with you. She was blessed because God blessed her. Who is the source of all blessing? Right, so Mary is the recipient. She never is perceived or projected in the scriptures as being the source of blessing, but the recipient of grace, not the source of grace. She's on the receiving side of grace, not on the dispensing side of grace. She's the one on whom grace is bestowed, not the one who bestows grace. Grace is always received and never earned. That's the message of grace. The Lord is with you. Nothing will be impossible. You're going to bear a son. His name will be Jesus. And that simply means the one through whom Yahweh brings salvation. And Mary responds, how will this be? This is impossible. The largest obstacle that I face in bearing a child is the very simple fact that I am a virgin, she says. And twice it's stated in our text that she's a virgin. I think Luke wants us to know with certainty that it was absolutely known and undisputable that this was a virgin. And so the explanation comes for us, and it helps us to remember that the explanation on how this conception happened is in verse 35. The angel answered and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And this is the simple explanation of the Scripture. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And so for all the ages, the Scriptures have simply said this, that Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin. It's in our creeds, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. A bedrock principle for Christianity which underscores at least two realities, and that is that God is with us because he came into the world not by the normal means of procreation, but came conceived of the Holy Spirit. And also assuring to us then that this child is the Son of God and without what trait that you and I possess? Without sin. Like us, but without sin. Why? Because he was conceived of the Holy Spirit of God. Wow, what must have been in the mind of Mary that Christ would be born of her? Nothing is impossible with God. And so, what's Mary's response? Mary's response is seen in two verses in the verse 38. Verse 38, Mary responds, behold then, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. And she refers to herself as the bond slave, in essence, the property of God. I belong to God. And what a humble response of Mary to say, then be it done to me according to your word. I wonder how we might have responded if the Lord came to us through an angel and the angel Gabriel spoke to us, what would be our response? Well, there was fear. And the angel said, do not be afraid. Mary's response was, I am your slave. I am the property of God. You think of yourself that way? We tend to think of ourselves as children of God with privilege. And we are. Such we are, John says. We are the children of God. But in a sense, to say to God, I am your servant, be it done to me according to your word. I wonder if an angel came and spoke to us, what might we say? I'd want to phone a friend. I'd want to call someone. I'd want to tell someone. I'd want to investigate. I would want to check it out. And Mary's humble response is not to call anyone, not to turn to anyone else, but simply say to God, be it done to me according to your word. How you respond to your obstacles this Christmas, in some measure, will determine your joy. And I want to encourage you to think of Mary's humble response to say, Lord, if you say it, I believe it. Be it done to me just as you've said, according to your word. Now there's another verse in here that then, of course, verse 39, Mary arose immediately and went with haste to the hill country, to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. So she got up immediately, having said to the angel, let it be just according to your word. She went right away to Elizabeth, and about that time Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting. The baby in her womb leapt, moved in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And so here's John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth, and he leaps for joy in Elizabeth's womb when Elizabeth hears the voice of Mary entering the womb. What a worshipful experience that the baby in the womb of Elizabeth responds to the voice of the mother of the Lord Most High. Blessed is she, verse 45, who, let's read this verse together. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. This is Elizabeth saying to Mary, blessed are you because you what? You believed that what the Lord said to you through Gabriel would come to pass, and you embraced it and you believed it. Now, who had not believed earlier? If you know that Zacharias did not believe, and we don't hear any words recorded from Zacharias in this particular account. Why? Because he's been judged and he's mute as a judgment of God because he did not believe. But here's Elizabeth saying to Mary, blessed are you, Mary. You are blessed of God because you believed. Now we see this picture of Mary, the bondslave of the Lord, who says to God, may it be done to me as you said. And Elizabeth verifying her response by saying, you are blessed because you believe. And Mary responds simply by saying, may it be done as you've spoken, in holy submission and ready confidence in what could be described in the life of a 15-year-old as childlike faith to say to God, I believe. Now, a word to those of you who are over 15. Let's be careful not to be so sophisticated that we not simply believe the word of God. And to those of you who are 15 or younger, cultivate in your heart the readiness to say to God, if you say it, I believe it. The joy of your life is dependent upon a response to God which would say, I make room in my heart to say yes to God when he speaks to me. And when God speaks to you in this season and in all the seasons of your life, I hope you will say, I believe. Travel with me to the end of Jesus' life. He's been to the cross. He's been to the tomb. He's raised from the dead. He shows up in an upper room, and who's there with his arms crossed to say, when I see, I believe? Terrible name. Thomas. Doubting Thomas, who says, only when I see. Only when I see. And Jesus says, put put forth your hand and touch me here. And he does. And he feels. And he says, my Lord, my God. And Jesus said, you have believed because you have seen. Blessed are those who, having not seen, believe. You could be among them. And you could wear on your banner, I am blessed of God. Because his favor's on me. I believe what he said. And my response to him is, Lord, be it done to me according to your word. I want you to know your Christmas joy is somewhat dependent upon your response to God. That I say, I believe God. I believe what you said. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you have come for us. And Mary's response is very simple. In the face of these obstacles, I simply trust in the word of God and I believe what he has said. And then she breaks out into song, into praise. And I want to look at that and show you four things from Mary's praise. Four ideas that emerge from her praise beginning in verse 46, which begins with, my soul exalts the Lord. We say a lot about worship, and we want to be people of worship. But here in this text from verse 46 all the way down to verse 55, Mary begins to erupt in praise to God because he has come to her and blessed her with this news that she will bear a son. Now, the parallels in this text are very, very similar to another text in the Scriptures. Remember that Mary, in all probability, was not educated formally, but she was well trained. She was a woman whose heart was after the Lord. And I don't think Mary is necessarily quoting the Old Testament, but I think her mind is so filled with the Old Testament stories as a young girl. And who might have been in Mary's mind as a young girl? Who would have been her heroes of the Old Testament stories and faith? What would have been the stories that Mary as a young girl would have resonated with as she thought back to the Old Testament? Well, probably would have been Sarah, Deborah, Hannah, Ruth, all the stories of great women of faith that she would have thought back on in her life. And there is a very striking similarity between her song of praise and that of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1, in which Hannah says, I exalt God because he gave her a son named Samuel. And if you look at that in 1 Samuel 1 and 2, you will see some similarities. But the idea probably is that Mary's mind was filled with the scriptures and hearing the stories again and again. And perhaps she was not able to read herself. We don't know for sure. But she knew these stories and her mind was filled with these stories. And out of her lips come these words of praise. Verse 46. My soul exalts the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bond slave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. The Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Mary says of God first. I'm going to give you four ideas that I've put labels on there, but you'll put your own on. I simply say these opening words of praise say that Mary's view of God is that the Lord is attentive. The Lord is attentive to me. He noticed. And he didn't bless me because of who I was. Mary understands that she is in need of a Savior. You want to see it right here? We should allow the Scriptures to teach us in verse 47. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. It's worth noting that Mary calls God her Savior, underscoring her need for a Savior. And Mary simply says, God noticed. He took notice of me. He was aware of me. And the Lord has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. You know that the only people whose soul can truly magnify the Lord are those people like Mary and Elizabeth, and hopefully you today, who acknowledge their low estate and who acknowledge that they are overwhelmed and that they need to recognize that God has come down to meet with them. Those who can truly magnify the Lord are those who in a low estate simply say, I recognize my need for God, and God sees me. You see that in verse 47 or verse 48? The Lord has regard. He's noticed. He's taken note of the humble estate of his bond slave. This is always the message of the Scriptures, that God sees those who are holy, lowly and broken in spirit. God is near to the brokenhearted. God is opposed to the proud, but he what? Gives grace to the humble. And that the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose hearts are his. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a contrite and broken heart he will not despise. God moves toward the lowly. And so the psalmist says, my soul makes its boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear it and rejoice with me. Mary simply says that the Lord sees me where I am. This is what the Lord has always done in the history of his work with mankind. His redemptive work is that God moves toward the humble and the contrite and the broken. And he's attentive. He pays attention. Remember when God spoke to Moses in the Old Testament at the burning bush, another image. And there Moses takes off his sandals and God says, you're standing on holy ground. And God speaks to Moses and this is what he says to him. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses hid his face from God, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, and I have given heed to their cry. I'm aware of their sufferings, and so I have, you know what he says? I have come down. Why? Because I've seen. I take notice. I'm aware. And this is what Mary's saying. My soul exalts in the Lord. He has seen me. He notices. I want you to know that you are in this Christmas season that God sees you. It's possible that you think God is not watching. God doesn't see. God's not aware. But I hope that your heart will praise God because he is attentive to who you are, to where you are, to what you need. And I pray the response of your heart this Christmas will be, so Lord, I bow down before you, and I humble myself before you. Secondly, verse 50, the Lord is merciful. His mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He's done mighty deeds with his arm. He's scattered the proud and the thoughts in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down rulers and exalted those who were what? Humble. You can see that what Mary is aware is that God draws near to the brokenhearted, to the humble, and he's opposed to the proud. He's merciful. He is the one who saves us according to his mercy toward those who fear him. Do you know those who can magnify the Lord, can magnify him for his mercy, are those who know that they need mercy. His name will be called Jesus, which means Yahweh saves. Mercy is for those who need to be forgiven, for those who need to be saved. So God is merciful, and he draws near to those who need to be forgiven of his grace. I pray your heart will rejoice and exult in God for his mercy to you this Christmas. Mary was very aware of her need for mercy. And unlike much of the theology around Mary, is Mary needed to be forgiven. She needed the mercy and the forgiveness of God. Look at verse 53. Verse 53 says, He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. And God is generous. He's chosen Mary. He's blessed Mary. And God is a generous God. And Mary exalts God for His generosity to her. He's filled the hungry with good things. But those who are rich, those who are self-sufficient, go away empty-handed. I want you to magnify the Lord for His generous blessings this Christmas. And what are they? Well, you'll count them. For Mary, it was that God chose me, that God blessed me, that He's going to allow me to be the one who bears His Son. And therefore, for generation after generation, Mary will be called blessed as the mother of God. And generation after generation will receive the mercy of God. How many generations have come since Jesus entered the world? Well, if you count a generation as 25 years, then about 80 generations. And every generation has experienced the mercy of God. And you can experience it too. If you'll say, Lord, I know why You've come. Paul said it this way, What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not freely with Him give us how much? All things. Why? Because God is generous. God is a generous God. And so we magnify the Lord for all His blessings. And then look at verse 54. Mary says, He has given help to Israel, His servants, in remembrance of His mercy, just as He spoke to our fathers. And I see in Mary a picture in her mind that God is faithful, just as He was to the fathers before her, to the prophets before, that God is faithful. And He's keeping His faithfulness in this generation. He remembered His words as He spoke to His fathers and to Abraham and all his offspring. And that's why we say, Great is Thy faithfulness, God. Because from every generation, He always keeps His word. Now, Mary's view of her Father in heaven, of her God, is that He's attentive, that He's merciful, that He's the source of every blessing, and that He always keeps His word. And Mary can magnify God for all of these things because of her humble heart before Him. And her heart is filled with joy. I want you to take a sort of a measurement of your joy this Christmas. How are you doing? You have joy? Or do you feel kind of pressured? Do you have more pressure or more joy? Stress? Or do you say, no, this is season. I want you to shed that and overcome the obstacles that you're facing by simply saying, okay, I believe. And with Mary, I want to get in line with all those who have been in the presence of God and heard His voice and made room for the Word of God to come into my heart and say, Lord, be it done to me according to Your Word. You see me. You're merciful. You're generous. You're faithful. And I promise you, the measure of your joy will be corresponding to your response to His word. The psalmist put it this way, Magnify the Lord with me. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. And the humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt His name together. I call you to do that. We have a tendency to over-magnify our view of men and women. We tend to overestimate the way we think about each other, or people in position of authority, or celebrities. Right? And we're often disappointed with them. But we can never over-magnify or fully express the greatness and the glory of God. But this Christmas season, let's give it our best shot. Let's pray together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Father, I pray that you'll help us today and always to give you the glory which you deserve. And to say with Mary, my soul magnifies the Lord. And I pray that you'll give us restraint, that we not magnify the wrong things this Christmas. Make us careful, O Father, to not overemphasize our purchasing, our consuming, and all of our celebrating on a human plane. If it diminishes our ability to magnify in the depth of our soul the generosity and the mercy and the faithfulness and the notice of our God, I thank you, O Father, that you are attentive to us. We are not forgotten. We would never say our way is hidden from God, but you are near. You are with us. You are Emmanuel. And so we worship you this Christmas, and we pray that our joy would correspond to our humility and our brokenness before you, and that we would be released in the depths of our soul to magnify the Lord and to make your name great. And we pray that the joy of the Lord will be ours as our strength, as our direction, and as the attitude of our heart that invigorates our soul to believe all that you have said. And may that be true in us for your glory and our good, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.